What is the 4% rule for taking retirement income from an IRA or 401k? Next on Three Dimensional Wealth Radio.
This is Three Dimensional Wealth Radio with New York Times bestselling author and your host, Doug Andrew.
This is Doug Andrew speaking to you, our incredible national audience, from our three-dimensional wealth studios nestled at the base of the majestic Rocky Mountains. This show is about empowering you, people, and organizations that want to optimize their assets, minimize taxes, and empower their authentic wealth. Folks, welcome. As a financial strategist and retirement planning specialist for more than 46 years, and recently I have been posting an in-depth answer to a financial question on my free, it's free to subscribe, YouTube channel, Three Dimensional Wealth. And this question has been asked anywhere from 300 or 400 times to even several thousand times in the last several months. What is the 4% rule in the financial services industry as it relates to retirees? So I want to share with you how it came about, what it is, and why I think it's pretty pathetic that that is the financial services industry standard for people who have money, what I consider trapped in traditional IRAs and 401ks. And the money is in the market, because I do not believe you should have any more than 30% of your retirement assets invested in the market at retirement. See, at retirement planning is something totally different than for retirement planning. And why do I believe this? Because for the last 46 years, I have helped clients achieve more than double that, 8% and even higher, in payouts. Every $1 million that people accumulated in their retirement savings nest eggs, they've been able to generate as much as $80,000 a year of tax-free income versus the financial services industry payout of 4%, which is only $40,000. So let's talk about first how it came about. See, when people have their money in yet-to-be-taxed IRAs and 401ks, and where most Americans have their money in the market, the financial services industry, especially broker-dealers and those who have money invested in the market, they used that philosophy in order to accumulate your money. See, Wall Street always says, no, you should keep your money in the market. And if you ever ask Wall Street, when is the best time to get my money out of the market? And they will say, never. Well, if you leave it in the market forever, it's very difficult for an advisor to show you predictable cash flow based upon market performance. And so they have to go to actual investor returns, not investment returns. So let me explain the difference between those two terms. When you have your money in the market, and if you bought and held, okay, if people would just leave their money there and not react when the market goes up and down, the financial analysts like Dalbar say that the average mutual fund investor over a 20-year period should average a little over 9%, 9.14%, I think is the last time they studied that. But see, if you're earning 9% and you have $1 million nest egg in yet-to-be-taxed IRAs and 401ks, that would be 90 grand a year if you wanted to take out all of what you're earning. But you have to pay tax on that. So most people in America, 41 out of 50 states, has a state income tax. So I see most people who accumulated very much money, they end up paying as much as a third in federal and state income tax when they withdraw money out of their IRAs and 401ks. So if you withdrew $90,000, you're only going to net $60,000 after paying tax, because usually the income from IRAs and 401ks is on top of other income that you may have. And so you're not really netting $90,000 to buy gas, groceries, prescriptions, and golf green fees and the like. You're only netting $60,000 or about $5,000 a month. But Dalbar says, in actuality, investor returns are not 9%. They're only 3.49%. And it's been this way for several decades, meaning the average person with money in the market, when the market starts to take a nosedive, like 2001 to 2003 when it lost 40%, or in 2008 when it lost 40% in one single year, they say that when the market starts to go down 15, 20, 25%, people get extremely nervous. When it hits between 30 to 40% drops in the market, that's when people lose it, and they finally say, enough already. And they get their money out of the market. They sell because they think it's just going to totally tank, and so they're selling low. And then they wait and wait until the market turns around, and when the market comes back up again, they miss that upside potential. When they finally buy back in again, they're buying high. So they're selling low and buying high, and Dalbar says that is just a fact of the emotions that get involved when people have their money in the market, especially retirees. So Dalbar says most people with money in the market only average 3.49%. So let's just round it to 3.5. So if you're earning 3.5% and you didn't want to deplete your principal, if you have $1 million saved in IRAs and 401ks and it's in the market, you're only averaging $35,000 a year of income. But people can't get by on that. That's less than $3,000 a month. And so the financial services industry came out with what is called the 4% rule, meaning they'll let you take out 4% or $40,000. That's going to slowly deplete your nest egg, but not before your LE. LE is life expectancy. And they don't want to be sued for retirees, you know, coming after them for outliving their money. So that's called the 4% rule. In fact, if you take out more than 4% out of your retirement nest egg, they want you to sign a waiver that you will not sue them for outliving your money. So that's called the 4% rule. Well, let's do the math. You save $1 million and they want you to take out just 4% or $40,000 a year. Now, that's pretty pathetic in my opinion. I don't save $1 million to have a measly $40,000 a year of income. But that's not your net. You have to pay tax on that. So let's even use just a 25% tax rate. If you pull out $40,000 and you pay tax of 25%, that's $10,000 of the $40,000 you pay out in tax, and you're only netting $30,000 to buy gas and groceries, prescriptions, and golf green fees. But if I were you, I'd also want to deduct what is the cost or the fees for that asset manager managing that portfolio. And if you look at most asset managers, they're charging at least 1% or more in asset management fees. So 1% on $1 million nest egg is $10,000 a year. And so that's another $10,000. So after taxes and fees are deducted, you're not netting $40,000. You're netting $20,000 to buy gas, groceries, prescriptions, and golf green fees. And that's pretty pathetic. That's only 2%. Folks, for years, I have helped people with $1 million nest eggs predictably generate 8% payouts up to 10% payouts. Now, 8% would be $80,000. 10% payouts would be $100,000. But just at 8%, how much better is $80,000 than $40,000? Don't say $40,000. Don't say 4% more. No, it's 100% more. It's double. $80,000 is twice as much money as $40,000. It's 100% more income. But actually, in the way I calculate it, it's 400% more. It's four times as much because you're not netting $40,000 if you have to pay tax and deduct fees. When I quote 8%, that is net because my favorite vehicle, which I call the laser fund, is totally tax-free. So if you pull out $80,000, you net $80,000, and that's net of fees when I talk about taking that out. When you pull out $40,000 out of an IRA or 401k in the market, you're only netting $20,000 after deducting taxes and fees. So how much better is $80,000 than $20,000? It is four times the income. And so that's why my favorite vehicle, a max-funded indexed insurance contract where you put in as much money as the IRS allows, as fast as they allow, it turns into a tax-free cash cow. And every $1 million historically has been able to generate $80,000, $90,000, $100,000 a year of tax-free income. Even if you only earn 6%, that would be $60,000 of income, which is three times the 2% that you net out of an IRA or 401k.
This is Three Dimensional Wealth Radio. This is Three Dimensional Wealth Radio.
If an IUL policy is structured properly, you'll likely get an average annual return of 6 to 10%. Welcome back. This is Doug Andrew, Three Dimensional Wealth Radio. If you're just joining us, in the first segment, I was talking about the financial services industry 4% rule, where if you have money in IRAs and 401ks invested in the market, most financial firms do not want you to pull out any more than 4%, and it's because of the analysts like Dalbar that show that most retirees who have money in the market only really average about 3.5% because they're buying and selling at the wrong times. Now, at the very end of that segment, I was talking about how my favorite vehicle, where I've helped thousands of people achieve more like 8% payouts, $80,000 per year tax-free from a $1 million nest egg, is achieved by using max-funded indexed universal life insurance contracts, what I call the LASER Fund. Now, LASER is an acronym that stands for Liquid Assets Safely Earning Returns. And many times I've heard people say, well, I've never seen an insurance policy perform at 6, 7, or 8%. And I go, well, then you haven't seen one structured correctly. In fact, when I talk about this, oft times I will get questions. Why, Doug, does my insurance policy only get 2 or 3 or 4% rates of return if they know how to calculate that? And it's amazing how many insurance agents don't even know how to illustrate or calculate internal rates of return. The internal rate of return is calculated based upon how much did you pay in premiums, over what kind of a schedule, and how much money do you have, and then what can that cash inside the insurance policy generate in tax-free income without depleting principal. And most insurance policies out there would be lucky to illustrate anywhere from 2, 3, or 4%, not only in internal rates of return cash on cash, because they're not structured to do what I talk about in my various books. But it means that every $1 million could only generate maybe at best $40,000 a year of income, which is like the 4% rule in the financial services industry. But the beauty of maximum funded insurance contracts is that they are designed, and they were originally the brainchild of E.F. Hutton, who was not an insurance company, was for living benefits, for tax-free income. But for decades, we've had clients who have been able to pull out 8, 9, 10% a year out of their insurance policies because of the way they're structured. But generally speaking, you should be able to average 5, 6, 7% just by linking to an index. That's why I like indexed universal life. Even using some of the worst periods of time since the Great Depression, like 2000 to 2010, our clients average 7.23%. Even if they fell asleep and woke up 10 years later in 2010, they had doubled their money. If they had $1 million in the year 2000, they had $2 million in 2010, where most Americans were still down probably about 38% at that point. It took until 2012 for most Americans to come back to break even with the amount of money they started with 12 years earlier in 2000, the year 2000. Most of our clients by the end of 2012 had tripled their money. $1 million in 2000 was worth $3 million. And they did that by using indexing and rebalancing. Rebalancing sort of tweaked the rates of return up to about 9.6% during some periods, some 25-year periods, as much as 10.07%. So these are strategies that are taught and explained in our various books, and we teach about these in our educational webinars. And so 9.6% is a pretty incredible rate of return. It means that if you have $1 million nest egg and you're generating 9.6%, I can show you how that can net you easily between 8 and 9%, and if you do it the smart way, as high as 10% in payouts without depleting principal. If you stay with me, I'll cover that in future segments. But folks, this is incredibly powerful if you understand how to do this, because if your insurance policy, and if you don't know how to audit it, if you don't know how to analyze your insurance policy to see what its net internal rate of return is, you need to have it audited. And so your insurance policy, if it's only averaging 2, 3, or 4%, that's a signal to me it's not structured correctly, it's not funded properly, or you're probably owning whole life insurance, because whole life insurance, I've discovered every $1 million of cash value, most whole life policies can only generate an income in retirement of about 4%. Or 40 grand a year. No, if you structure your insurance policy with the least amount of insurance that the IRS will let you get away with under two tax citations, TEFRA and DEFRA, they're actually acronyms. They stand for the Tax Equity Fiscal Responsibility Act of 1982 and the Deficit Reduction Act of 1984. If you take the least amount of insurance that the IRS will let you get away with under those tax citations, and you put in the most money as the IRS allows, as fast as they allow, and that is under the TAMRA tax citation. TAMRA, T-A-M-R-A, stands for the Technical and Miscellaneous Revenue Act of 1988, June 21st of 88 to be exact. Then that allows you to accumulate, access, and transfer your money totally tax-free. And I have had thousands of people who have accumulated money at average internal cash-on-cash rates of return of 7, 8, 9, 10%, some years way higher than that, like 2017. Many people locked in gains of 16% and 25% using multipliers and performance factors on their indexed universal life. Some have earned as high as 55% in a single year. But the key is, when the markets go down, you don't lose because your money is not invested in the market. That's called indexing. And so this is why your money will likely double about every 7 to 10 years. We've had many people who started out with, let's say, $500,000 without adding a dime. $500,000 doubled to $1 million in 7 to 10 years. 7 to 10 years later, the million doubled to $2 million. $2 million doubled to $4 million in the next period, and $4 million doubled to $8 million. Yep, we have people with $8 million that can generate up to $800,000 a year of tax-free income if they needed it. I'm thinking of one couple who has that much. They don't need $800,000 tax-free. They're only taking out $300,000 tax-free, which leaves them another $500,000 of growth that will sort of hedge against inflation in the future and so forth. But folks, if you have permanent life insurance And if it's only earning between 2, 3, or 4% rate of return through the years, it's not structured correctly. You could have a better product if you want to use it for tax-free income and living benefits. This is what I have done for many, many years. And if yours does not do that, I would suggest it would behoove you to have your insurance policy audited by a professional who knows if it's structured correctly and what you need to do, or maybe it just can't. A lot of times insurance policies just can't perform, even if you max funded it under IRS guidelines, because they're too expensive the way they were structured, or because of the company or the product, okay?
This is Three Dimensional Wealth Radio.